Pitch and step to my lesson tonight. I want to sing one more song, hymn number 256. Number 256. Not ashamed to own my Lord. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause, maintain the honors of his word, the glory of his cross. Firm as his throne, his promise stands, and he can well secure what I've committed to his hands, to the decisive hour. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint for me a place. This song is short but rings out a very powerful message. I think that we should stand strong in the Lord, and that we should take ownership that we are in Christ, and that we are willing to prove that we are Christians in word, not only word, but in deed, by our voice, and backed up with our actions. And my first point, I titled my lesson, I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord, after the title of this song. And my first point is, be not ashamed to own God. Don't be ashamed to own God. Now, this usage of own, does that mean that we possess God? Because he possesses us. Because he is our creator. But rather, we are not ashamed to own God. It means that we are not afraid to acknowledge or to claim him, that, or to claim that we serve him. By what we do or by what we say. So in essence, having the courage to stand up and acknowledge that you are in Christ, that you are a Christian, and that you are a peculiar human being, that you have set aside, you have dedicated your life to Christ, and you're willing to show that by your actions, and you're willing to show that also by your words and what you say. So we must not be afraid to take ownership and let our peers, when I say peers, anyone that we come in contact with, and also let the world, including the religious world, know that we are Christians and we are not ashamed to prove it by our actions. Refer again to the first scripture that was read in your hearing, Matthew chapter 10. Verses 32 through 39. Please turn there. I'm going to give you time to get to the scriptures tonight. I'm a slow turner anyway, so you have that advantage. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39 says, therefore, whosoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I had come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So this is a pretty strong passage of scripture that is telling us that we have to put God first before anything else, before even our wives, our husbands, our children, that we serve the living God, and we have to follow his laws and his commandments. And like I said, I'm not saying that we're going to neglect our spouses and our children, and our love to serve Christ and not let anything or anyone call us to compromise our position with our Lord. To please God and to be accepted by Him, we must deny self. So this scripture is telling us that in 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake. So we have to take up our cross, as it says in verse 38, and follow God. That means we follow in the footsteps and in the examples of Jesus Christ. So we must deny self, and we must take up our cross. Turn to the other passage of scripture that was read in your hearing, Luke chapter 9. It's another excellent scripture that makes our point tonight. Luke chapter 9, and beginning at verse 23 through 26. And he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So another very powerful verse that tells us that we need to put God first. The world profits us nothing, as the scripture tells us. Flesh profits us nothing. And so if we get all those worldly things and our soul is lost, that's a greater magnitude of a loss than denying or giving up something that we have to do in the world. So whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed. So we just got through reading Matthew 10. It said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. So if we're not willing to stand up, and if we should not be ashamed to let the world know who we are and what we stand for. Also, Romans 1:16, a familiar scripture to us all. We know what that says, but I'm going to turn over there and read it anyways for emphasis. Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." So in verse 17 it says, "For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it written, the just shall live by faith." So we should not be ashamed of the gospel, to declare it, to speak it. And that is something that our brother Thornton is going to be bringing out in the gospel meeting, about how we should take in and be willing to speak boldly and distinctly about God and about our relationship with Christ to anyone. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I love this scripture because it kind of gives us, I think, our mantra or our marching orders for how we ought to be thinking and how we ought to act and conduct ourselves. But I'm going the wrong way. Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And the scripture says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." So I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed. So because of what God, who God is, and what He has done for us, and the position that He has put us in the kingdom of marvelous light, and His in the kingdom, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. So we should not put our heads down when it's time, when someone asks us about our faith. We shouldn't get quiet, or we shouldn't ignore it, or not declare that we're not going to do something, because God is going to take care of us if we take care of the work down here on earth. My second point, as the song points out, we must be ready and be equipped to defend and contend for the cause of Christ. There are a lot of things, I'll just say things, that are trying to chip away at the pillars of truth. There's a lot of different religions, a lot of different people individually who are trying to downgrade the gospel, God's word. They're trying to disqualify it. They're trying to annul it, to make it accept to have this mindset as the faith. Now contend, go ahead and turn to Jude chapter, there's one chapter, Jude 1, verses 1 through 4, and I'll get there in a minute. The word must be willing to speak out and let people know what says the Lord. And let's invite them to worship. When we tell them what thus says the Lord, let us tell them to come and see and hear. Very important that they need to hear, because it tells them what they need to do to get in God's kingdom, to have their soul saved, and to be able to go to heaven like we are, and to get in the same boat that we are. So let's invite them. We have a golden opportunity with the gospel meeting coming up. And let me get over to Jude here with you. Jude verses 1 through 4. I read verses 1 through 4 because I want you to know that the book of Jude is written to Christians. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by Christ the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. So those who are called sanctified by God the Father, that's Christians. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I am very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Verse 4, why? For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's many other passages that we can turn to that cite and warn us about the onslaught of false teachers. Now, one of the things that we really have to, that we're studying about now, is something that as an eldership we wanted to really highlight, is the dangers of Assembly of God. Help me, Brother Obed. Community church, thanks. The community church movement is a very sneaky, dangerous, subtle movement. And many members of the Lord's body who have left their first love, who have left the church altogether and has gone into this movement. A lot of them, I know several, who have left, just turned their back on the Lord and went out into this false doctrine. So we have to be ready if we see them, if we talk to them, if we have them trying to persuade us, we need to stand strong and defend. Third point tonight is that we must be willing to maintain the honors of His word, as the song points out. Uphold Scripture and believe in the validity of God's word and the sanctity of God. There are warnings in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end of God's word. Let's see if I remember them. Deuteronomy 4:2. verse 30 and 6. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. Let's turn to Revelations and read that one. We won't read all three for the sake of time. Start at verse 18 and verse 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part in the book of life for the and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us to love not the world. Brethren, we have a strong, tremendous draw because we are fashionable, impressionable type of people where we like to follow the crowd and do what the norms of the society are doing. So this song and this lesson tonight is telling you to be careful. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because you can be drawn in and pulled away from assembling with the saints, from studying your Bible, from living the Christian life. So it is very, very dangerous and very, very serious in the time that we live in today. Willing to maintain the honors of his word, we must believe that the Bible is the same, is the same as it was, as powerful and as pure and as important in time. That it is not extinct. It is not out of date. Man has no right to tell God how to run his kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 tells us that it's not a man who walketh to direct his own steps. And so we must believe in the sanctity and the validity of God's inspired word. Now turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read the first three verses. This is a warning for us about the way of the world and what's happening today. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. But by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Very powerful words from God through the Apostle Peter. That many will follow their destructive ways, and they will use deceptive words. They're going to use flattery, and it's going to sound real good. But we have to respect the authenticity of God's word. We must not compromise it at any cost. As I said, many, many members of the body of Christ have left the body of Christ and gone back out into the religious world, to other denominations. Also, I won't read this one because of the sake of time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 also points out the warnings and the dangerous times that we live in and what is happening in this world that we are sojourners and pilgrims in. So God and his word are unchanging, because I said God and his word are unchanging. God and his word are unchanging. That means that God is not going to adjust his word to fit what society wants or to fit what mankind wants. We have to switch our thinking to what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. Today, let me read that again. I goofed that up there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is not out of date. His word is not, does not get modified or adjusted. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 tells us to watch, brave, and to be strong. I'll repeat that. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Don't be ashamed. Don't look away. Don't put your head down. Don't get silent when it's time to shut up. My last point, God promises will stand the test of time. We must have the courage and the faith to stick with God. We've read in your hearing Joshua 24, 14 and 15. We know the famous phrase, it's a statement that Joshua made, me and my house will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Joshua is a great example of someone who knew who God was and knew that he could win any battle or handle any situation because God was on his side. Also Gideon, we remember Gideon in Judges. Only he defeated an army with only why? Because God was with him. So we must stand with God and through the test of time. John chapter 20. So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of evidences that we need to be reminded of. Now, just John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 tells us that there was many signs and wonders. There's many things that Jesus did. Can you imagine that? The scripture doesn't contain all of the miracles that Jesus did. That's what John 20 and 30 and 31 is telling us. He did many more miracles that are not written in this, that is not written and recorded. So we need to be mindful of that. Also, I leave you with Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Turn over there. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God is able to deliver. We have to not be ashamed and stand with him and stand. All of God's promises, we must have that level of faith to believe and trust that he will deliver on all of the precious promises. He's done so beautifully already, and he's going to deliver on the rest of the promises that he has made, ultimately heaven. So that concludes my lesson for tonight. Do not be ashamed to own our Lord or my Lord. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation, if you are not a Christian, we encourage you to hear the gospel, believe, develop a faith in Christ, to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. And if you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, you need to repent of a transgression, or you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we sing.